是收费加分。
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present the Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Even today, after all these years, I never fail to wonder at the extraordinary woolly-mindedness of some people in their attitude to lawbreakers who manage to escape the clutches of the authorities or successfully break out of jail. I remember the recent comments of those who regarded as highly intelligent when Rocha escaped from his Mozambique prison. Now I read of this eminent French surgeon and his wife being charged with harboring a child kidnapper who had escaped from his prison in Marseille. When asked by the investigating magistrate the reason, the surgeon replied that it was inevitable for people with sensitivity and compassion to assist those on the run from the state. No thought for the child he kidnapped, mark you, or the terrible fears of the parents during those long days and nights when the child was missing. Or, for that matter, Rocha, with the emphasis on his Houdini-like skill in being an escaper, the emphasis should have been on the fact that he was a convicted rapist, would-be murderer, and responsible for many acts of criminal violence. I remember as a young man going to a London theatre in which the play consisted largely of a parson and the man he discovers hiding in his cellar. The man was on the run from Dartmoor prison, a sentenced murderer. I can't remember the details, except for the fact that as the police cars get closer and the dog's barking becomes louder, the parson opens the front door and says to the escaped convict, "Go with my blessing." A humane gesture? Nonsense. An act that gives the convict an opportunity to commit another murder. It's the same with people who withhold information because of a warped sense of loyalty. As in the story I'm going to tell tonight, which I've called Death is Not Fraudulent. A young woman named Paula Harriman was heard to scream at approximately midnight. The landlady went to investigate, found her lying on the floor of her room. She'd been killed. Now, tell me exactly what happened, Mrs. Doyle.
Happened? What have I got to tell that this should happen in my house? That poor Miss Harriman.
I know it must be terrifying for you, Mrs. Doyle. You say you heard someone running down the stairs.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. It was terrible.
Now just sit down, Mrs. Deutsch, and tell me exactly what happened.
It was just 12 o'clock exactly.
You sure? Exactly 12 o'clock?
Yeah, I am sure. You see, I had been listening to the radio, and the speaker, he said good night, and said soon you will hear the midnight bells. Room.
Did I hear somebody scream? Oh, is that you, Miss Boyce? They said somebody listening to the radio. I thought I heard a scream.
Yes, Mr. Epton, I hear also. I think from Miss Harriman.
Well, we'll soon find out.
See, there's a light under the door.
Yes, so there is. Hello? Miss Harriman? Miss Harriman?
I see if the door is locked.
No.
She doesn't seem to be here. She...
Oh, look!
Steady, Miss Boyce, steady. Oh. We've got to keep calm. Oh. We'd better ring for an ambulance and the police.
I see. Well, she was strangled, all right. According to the police surgeon, the bruise on her chin said the unfortunate young woman was knocked out and then killed. How many people in this house, Mrs. Deutsch?
Seven and myself.
Are they all here?
Mr. and Mrs. Rapport, they have this restaurant in the High Street. They never come home before 1, maybe 2 o'clock.
I see, thank you. And the others?
Mr. and Mrs. Forrester, they always go away on Fridays, come back Monday.
And this gentleman I met when I first arrived, that was Mr. Acton?
Yeah, that will be Cedric Acton. A very fine gentleman. He has much business in the city.
Well, there is one other. Who's the seventh tenant?
Ah, yes, that's... Mr. Frascati, I do not know where he is. Sometime he go away for the week, sometime not. He play first violin with the orchestra. Oh, excuse me, I think I hear Mr. Frascati now. He has a key. Mr. Frascati! Mr. Frascati!
Oh, you're still awake. It's nearly 1:30.
Oh, Mr. Frascati...
I suggest you try and get some sleep, Mrs. Deutsch. I'll explain to this gentleman. Angelo Frascati stood in the hallway, clutching a violin case dressed in white tie and tails. It was obvious that he had just come from some musical presentation, which he later confirmed. I went with him into his room. There was no doubting the distress of the man when I told him of the tragedy that had taken place less than an hour and a half ago.
Miss Harriman, but why? Who would want to do a thing like that?
Well, I haven't searched the room thoroughly as yet. I have spoken to Mr. Acton and, of course, Mrs. Deutsch. That they found the young lady perfectly charming, although neither could tell me whether she had any employment. What do you know about her, Mr. Frascati?
Very little. I know that she's an American, and once she stalked me in the passage and told me that she's been to the Wigmore Hall, where I play first violin. She was most charming, but who or what or why or how, I'm afraid I know nothing about her.
Well, thank you, sir. No need to keep you awake. I shall have the unhappy task of going through the woman's effects. It was then that I had my first surprise. I searched the girl's clothes, her dressing table, handbag, and yet there wasn't a paper confirming her identity. Neither passport nor birth certificate. Nothing. By the time I'd finished, it was nearer 3:00 than 2:00, and I decided a few hours' sleep were required. However, I was back at the yard in time to telephone operations before he went off night duty. Now listen, Ops. She signed the tenant's book as Paula Harriman. I want to find out more about her. Get through to the American Embassy.
Very good, sir.
The landlady says that she distinctly heard someone running down the stairs and out into the street seconds after the scream. Get hold of X Branch, see if anybody witnessed anything suspicious, the usual thing.
Right, sir.
Now, I want to run down on the list of tenants. You'll find it in the docket I sent over. I want to know everything about them, even those who were away from London last night. You'll see them all clearly marked.
Right, sir.
Oh, and let me know as soon as you get anything from the American Embassy.
I will, sir.
Oh, come in, Mr. Acton. Come on in.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Ops, don't forget. Time is of the essence.
Right, sir.
Well, it's good of you to come along, Mr. Acton. I did say any time, up till 1:00. Thought it being Saturday morning, you'd like a longer lie-in, especially after what happened last night.
It's terrifying, absolutely terrifying. Mrs. Deutsch says that she heard someone running down the stairs. Perhaps if I'd opened my door a few seconds sooner, I might have caught the swine.
Well, you can't berate yourself for that. Now, you heard the scream.
Yes. I opened my door, and there was Mrs. Deutsch. She heard it, too. We were the only two in the building.
I looked in the tenant's book, where she wrote her signature and put down that she came from Tucson, Arizona. It's a very clear and definite kind of handwriting.
Well, she was a very clear and definite person. I didn't know her at all well, but she seemed awfully nice.
Forgive me for being brutally frank. Do nice girls have people in their rooms at midnight?
Come, Inspector. Aren't you rather old-fashioned?
Hmm?
It's not a hotel, you know. We have our separate apartments.
Fair enough. But if you knew the number of lonely girls, strangers to London, who are murdered each year, you too would wish we lived in an age when it was considered wrong to entertain people of the opposite sex. Now, you signed the tenant's book last January. That's 5 months ago.
Yes, yes, that's right. I remember when she moved in. A friend of mine had the apartment before her. He was transferred to Swindon. I must say it was rather funny.
What was funny?
Well, it's a kind of unwritten law that whoever sees the post first picks it up, sorts the letters out, and puts them on the ledge in the entrance hall. Do you know, I've never once seen a letter addressed to Paula Harriman.
Well, frankly, I decided not to disturb Mrs. Deutsch earlier than was necessary. She was in quite a shock. But the sooner I can get this investigation underway, the sooner I'll get the killer. I'm working in the dark. That's why I called for your assistance. I'll need to find out whether she had a banking account, whether she had any men friends. Now, senior police surgeon says there was no question of sexual assault, yet there must be some reason for such a brutal method of killing her.
Bank. You mentioned bank.
Yes. You thought of something?
Yes. I happened to work on the stock exchange, and some weeks ago, very funny. Hello, Miss Harriman. You're in the wrong end of town, aren't you?
Oh, Mr. Acton, I've never been into the city before. Nothing but insurance companies and banks, except for the bank I'm wanting.
What bank is that? I know most of the banks around here.
The United States Bank Corporation.
Oh, I can tell you where that is. Now, you're in Queen Street. You need to be in Queen's Place. Now, you go to the end of this block and you'll find it on your left.
Oh, thank you very much. I must hurry. I'm supposed to be there at 12:00.
Harriman. Paula Harriman, you say, Inspector?
Yes, that's right.
Harriman. Well, sir, if she does business with this bank, it'll be on one of these cards. Harley. Harris. Harwood. No, sir. There's no Harriman here. I'm afraid not.
Well, I had great hopes, Mr. Rogers.
You're quite sure? No, Miss Harriman.
Oh, quite sure. I'll make inquiries from the rest of my staff, of course, but if anyone does business with this banking corporation, it's automatically indexed here.
Just a minute. I've got a picture here of the young lady. I'm having it circulated in certain quarters. Perhaps you might recognize it.
I promise you, Inspector, that if that young lady... Wait a minute. Are you saying that this is a photograph of a Miss Harriman?
Yes, I am. I found it in her apartment. Probably a year or two old, but sufficient for identification purposes. What's the matter? You do recognize her, don't you, Mr. Rogers?
Yes, I do. I remember her quite well. She arrived with a letter of recommendation from our branch in Tucson, Arizona. She had also a number of traveler's checks with her. There's only one thing wrong with all this, Chief Inspector Carr, but first of all, I'd better make quite sure. Here we are. That's right. Here it is. Yeager. That's right, Yeager. Her name isn't Harriman. Her name is Mrs. Paula Yeager. J-A-E-G-E-R.
Well, this is interesting. Very interesting. What address have you got?
Care of the American Club, Piccadilly. That's an accommodation address.
She lived under the name of Harriman at 28 Bailey Street. That's the wrong end of Pimlico.
That's not a very salubrious address for a woman who's got £30,000 in her account.
Seemed to be a murder investigation along the usual lines of an attractive young woman killed for reasons of jealousy or frenzied desires took on a totally different aspect. Why should she call herself Harriman, and why should the victim live in a rather cheap apartment house when she seemed to possess so many thousands of English pounds? I take it that when a customer opens a banking account, you take specimens of their handwriting, signatures.
Oh, yes, of course. I always have them in duplicate.
Then I'll take one, sir, if you don't mind. I returned to Bailey Street and compared the woman's signature taken from the bank with the handwriting as inscribed in the tenant's book. There was no question that one person had written both signatures. Say, Mrs. Deutsch, your tenant's real name was Yeager.
This is very strange.
Yes, Mrs. Deutsch, very strange indeed. Particularly as the American Embassy assures me that there is neither a Miss Harriman nor a Mrs. Yeager registered as being Americans living in London.
Excuse me, please.
Yeah, this is Mrs. Deutsch speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry to trouble you, ma'am. Chief Inspector Carr said he'd be at your place for the next hour or two. He wanted me to find out something for him.
Oh, excuse me, the officer is here.
For me?
A gentleman wishes to speak to you.
Thank you. Hello, Carr speaking.
I have the information you wanted, sir. This is Rogers, United States Banking Corporation.
Yes, Mr. Rogers.
Two checks make up the £30,000.
Huh?
Both drawn by the Rush Home Engineering Company. Both checks have been cleared, so there's no question as to their authenticity.
Well, I wasn't questioning that. Do you know this firm?
No, I never heard of them. But I looked them up in the telephone directory, and they don't seem to be listed. But their bank, through which the check was cleared, is the London and Central.
Yes, that's right. Mr. Rush Home Engineering Works opened an account here. It's quite a amount.
But who opened the account?
Well, let me see. Mr. Arthur Smith. Their address is 223 Delaware Road, Islington.
Can I get you something, sir?
I'm looking for an engineering works at this address. I didn't expect to find a tobacconist, sir.
Well, you see, sir, we give an accommodation service. You'll see us advertised in the London Star every night. It's only £1 a month, and we take care of all your letters. And we always forward them on if necessary.
Any letters from the Rush Home Engineering Works?
Yes, there was one. Had the name printed on the envelope. Addressed to a Mr. Smith. I had to readdress it to the General Post Office, London.
Have you got that, Ops?
Must be hundreds of Smiths calling for letters to the GPO, sir. It's not going to be easy.
Yes, I know, but we must leave no stone unturned, as the saying goes.
Fair enough, sir.
It's a swindle, all right. The unknown man opens an account in the name of the Rush Home Engineering Company. He deposits a number of checks totaling £30,000 and then draws checks to that amount in favour of Mrs. Yeager. The question is, where did the unknown man get his £30,000? Who paid that sort of money to the Rush Home Engineering Company by check?
You said something on the telephone about amounts of money paid to us by this engineering firm.
Yes, sir, a firm that is non-existent.
I don't believe it. I don't have to tell you that Rexton's are the largest firm of its kind in Europe.
Yes, I know that, sir. But here are the amounts paid in and cleared by your bank. Now, who signs the check?
I do. You're one of my fellow directors. You're Hunter.
Who's Hunter?
Our chief accountant. He's been with us for many years. Surely you don't think
Mr. Rexton, I'm from the murder, not the fraud squad. I'm making inquiries into the death of a young woman named either Paula Harriman or Jaeger. And somewhere, somehow, those checks issued by your organization have some connection with this murder.
Preposterous. You'd better have a word with my Mr. Hunter. You say the Rush Home Engineering Company Limited. Yes, we did buy machinery from them, and we did issue those checks to which you refer.
I see. What were they issued for, in payment of what?
Oh, good heavens, I can't tell you off the cuff. Scaffolding irons, cement mix, all sorts of things.
And you actually received goods?
Received? Well, of course. I wouldn't have okayed the invoices otherwise. I've got the original invoices. Here they are.
You mean the address on the invoice is at 223 Delaware Road? It's an accommodation address. There's no works there, nothing but a tobacconist's shop.
What do you mean? I know Mr. Rushholm myself.
Well, have you the invoices on which these checks were paid?
Of course.
Who orders this material?
The heads of various departments. Just a minute.
Yes, Mr. Hunter?
Invoices, Rushholm Engineering. Quickly, please.
It seemed absurd that a young woman strangled in some obscure apartment house should be linked with one of the most respected industrial firms in the country. Yet everything pointed to a link between an obvious fraud and a brutal murder.
Ah, here we are. Yes, that's it. Initialed by John Butcher.
Who's he?
A director of the company and head of our purchasing division. Poor chap.
Why do you say that?
Collapsed and died of a heart attack 6 weeks ago.
What do these initials mean?
It means that the goods have been delivered and authorizes us to pay on these invoices.
See, thank you.
Mr. Rexton said something about a swindle. I can assure you that our precautions...
Mr. Hunter, as I told your managing director, I'm more concerned with the murder that's been committed rather than with your company being defrauded. I'll take these invoices, if you don't mind. Car?
Operations here, sir.
Yes?
The name Harriman was not a non-diplomat. FBI say that a Paula Harriman married a Mr. Rolf Jaeger, British subject. Divorced 3 years later in Mexico.
Hey, wait a minute. Jaeger. Well, well. How's your German, Ops?
Non-existent, sir. Why?
Well, unless my memory fails me, Hunter in German is Jaeger, and Jaeger is Hunter.
Beg upon, sir?
Never mind, but I'd like to know the name Hunter of Rexton was born with.
Well, but do you think, sir, that...
I shall start thinking now, Ops. But things are moving apace. Within the hour, the registrar of births, marriages and deaths was able to supply the information that Ralph Hunter's birth certificate showed that he was born Ralph Jaeger, that both his parents were naturalized British subjects of German origin. My old antennae told me that the investigation was nearing a successful completion. Mrs. Deutsch, I've been rereading your statement and I'm placed in a certain amount of difficulty.
Difficulty, Chief Inspector? My statement makes things difficult?
Well, yes. Now, let me read what you said. You said, I heard a scream, and then you rushed out of your room. And as you did so, you heard somebody running down the stairs. And just then, you heard Mr. Acton shout from below, did I hear someone scream? Do you still say that's what occurred?
Well, I say that is what occurred.
I've got a feeling that there was a scream. But only one scream. Yours.
I do not know what you mean.
Mr. Acton says that he heard a scream. He's on the ground floor, yet he makes no mention of hearing any sound of the intruder running down the stairs. I have a feeling that you're withholding information. That's a very serious offence.
Why should I withhold information?
Could it be that the scream Mr. Acton says he heard came from you? Could it be that you walked into Miss Harriman's room and saw her lying there and you screamed in horror? And as you rushed out, it was then that Mr. Acton called out, did I hear somebody scream? And then he says, oh, is that you, Mrs. Deutsch? How well did you know Paula Jaeger? Oh, come, come, Mrs. Deutsch. Do you realize what can happen to you? It isn't true that she became a tenant as a result of an advertisement.
I...
And Ralph Jaeger, how well do you know him? Did he bring her here? Did you know his parents? Well, can't you see the position you're in?
If you can identify the man who was here the night she was murdered, and you fail to do so...
You... Rosas, they're so wonderful to me. They helped me to get away from those beasts. They brought me to London, took care of me while I... My mind has gone, you understand. My husband, I see him go to the gas chamber. He will kill them. He suffered, said Ralph. She blackmailed him. Says that the Mexico divorce did not mean anything in this country. And he was so much in love with Grace Rexton. I did wrong, I know.
Now, what really happened?
I see Ralph come to the house. I hear some shouting. He says, you have blackmailed me for the last time. I hear her laugh, saying if he wants to marry this woman, he will have to pay for some more machinery. Words do not understand. Then he starts shouting. And suddenly, it is quiet. I am frightened by the quiet. I go to Paula's room and...
It's no use you going there. I've killed her. I've killed her here. I hit her, strangled her with these hands. They can do what they like to me.
What have you done? What have you done? Paula, you... Oh!
Did I hear somebody scream? Oh, is that you, Mrs. Deutsch?
Yes. Mr. Acton, I hear also, I think, from Miss Harriman. Mr. Acton, he come up the stairs, and then I knock on Paula's door, pretending I had not seen the terrible, terrible thing I did see.
Well, I knew it was your scream that he heard. You see, our police surgeon says that the young woman received a blow to the jaw, rendering her unconscious before she was strangled. It must have been a sudden blow, and she would have been in no position to scream. You'll now be asked to sign a statement identifying Hunter as the man who was here that night.
Oh, his parents, his poor parents. What will happen to them?
Well, what about Mrs. Yeager's parents? They weren't responsible for their daughter's blackmailing activities. It's no good, Hunter. The game's up. We learned that you'd changed your name from Yeager to Hunter by deed poll. And I thought it was too much of a coincidence that your ex-wife, married in the name of Yeager, should be living in an apartment house run by a German. Are you ready to confess?
Yes. Yes, I am. The scheme was hers. She arrived in London with news that our divorce wasn't recognized in this country. Started blackmailing me, and then she said she had this idea of... Oh, what's the use? Yes, I confess. So Mrs. Deutsch gave me away. Not that I can blame her.
She didn't. It had to be forced out of her. You gave yourself away. You said one unutterably stupid thing when I first questioned you. It must have been the shock at seeing me. In the shock of being confronted with a Scotland Yard officer to cause him to say, it's nothing but a tobacconist's shop.
What do you mean? I know Mr. Rushholm myself.
And can one be more stupid than that? It must have been obvious that once the fraud had been discovered, we would know that not only was there no such firm as Rushholm Engineering Limited, but no Mr. Rushholm. The whole thing was a fraudulent fiction. Once Hunter blurted out that self-protective phrase, I knew he was involved in the fraud, and that it was highly probable he was connected with the murder. And yet, I can't help wondering whether the case would have been solved had there not been the 1,000-to-1 chance of Mrs. Yeager meeting Mr. Acton in the city and inquiring the way to the bank where she deposited the checks.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet's Cheese Twists, with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.